So I guess I should say that today is December 2nd, and I'm conducting my first interview for the Gathering Project. And I'm here with my interviewee. And so I'm just going to begin with the biographical questions. What is your name?
My name is Lawrence Frederick Thomas, but I got the name nickname of Laurie because when I was a kid, we seen a Laurie written on a truck from Ireland, and everybody told me that's the same as Lawrence or Larry. So instead of calling me Larry, they started calling me a Laurie, and that was from when I was a kid.
That's really interesting, Lori. And where and when were you born?
I was born here in Anaconda, Montana, down in the east end of town. The name of the street is Birch Street. With his, I let's see, with all my Irish relatives were also lived in the same block, like two blocks. Do you want to know who I was born with?
Well, we'll confirm the dates and then you'd be free
Okay,
to talk about
I was
any of
born
that.
August 8th. I mean, I was born in August the 29th, 1927.
Okay. Where did you grow up?
I grew up right here. I was born in Anaconda on Birch Street. Of course, I was born in 316 Birch Street at home there. My mom was born in home. I'll have to tell you my Irish where we came from. I was born in my Grandma Harrington's house, and her maiden name before that was Moriarty. So I went from Moriarty to Harrington to Green to Thomas. So that's what I stand in the Irish part.
Okay. Do you want to relay a little bit of information about where you've lived?
Yeah, what down there? That's in our neighborhood in Anaconda, where we were more or less segregated. The Irish lived in one part, the Italians lived in another part, and the Austrians or the Bohunks lived in another part. So that was raised up in the Irish part,
Okay.
down in Birch Street.
Okay. And most of your neighbors were Irish?
Yep.
Okay. What kind of jobs have you had during the course of your life?
Well, I'm off the railroad called the B&P Railway. I was 30 years in the service. It was 15 years in the engine department. The last 15 years as the maintenance. And during the strikes and that we had here, we had a lot of labor problems. So I got a job as a carpenter, and I belonged to the Carpenters Union.
Okay. What do you do for a living now?
Well, right now I'm retired, but you might want to know our hobbies.
Yes,
Well,
because I'm sure that
we
although
have
you've
a
retired, you still work.
we're still staying active in civic work around here. I belong to a couple of groups called Grumpy Old Men, the Enhancement Group, and we do such things in the community like help build a house for the Habitat for Humanity. We'll do anything that will help the community.
Okay. Any other leisure time, not
Oh,
leisure time
yeah, I
activities or
forgot. Yeah.
additional work that you do now that you're retired?
Well, I'm still very active in sportsmen's issues. I've been the president of the Anaconda Sportsmen's for a number of years, and I'm still going to keep it for a while, I hope. But one of our main things here, we do have a lot of good wildlife here in our area, which I like to brag about. But we also have the sportsmen have the campground on the Big Hole River for anybody that would like to come and stay camping. It's donations only. So we keep it up. And we're real active in trying to acquire some more land for wildlife. We got some land west of Anaconda for our bighorn sheep. We just picked up a piece of ground up by Stumptown that we hope to make. It's got a real good spring on it, and we're hoping to make a for a fish spawning project. That's our summer project this year.
Okay. Just a little bit more about the biographical questions. Right now, you, whoops, I lost my place here. At what age did you first marry?
It's 1952.
Okay. And currently, is your partner of Irish ancestry as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have some Irish and it would be the...
German.
I'm half German. My mother was full-blooded German.
Okay.
So I'm kind of a half-and-half girl.
Okay. And between the two of you, how many children do you have?
We have 10.
10.
19 great-grand. And, well, let's see, I think it's close to 8.
Great-grand.
Great-grand.
Okay. Okay.
Going to have another one in February.
Wow. Quite the family. Do you have any information about your ancestors as far as when they left Ireland?
As a matter of fact, the old farts, I left it on the table in there.
Okay.
You want to take them? My grandma's name, maiden name was Catherine Moriarty, and she married John J. Harrington. But when I was a kid, I guess it'd be my grandpa there, great-grandpa. He died before I was born. But Grandma Harrington, she died in 1953. She was born in 1866 and died in 1953. What I know more about my great-grandma is on Birch Street where I was born. We had an uncle there. And he, I think his name was Moriarty too, but he could only speak Gaelic.
Ah.
But the trouble was, he was a little, he wasn't quite with it all. So we always got teased because of my uncle, because he could only speak Gaelic, and he also did kind of funny things. So that's part of my story about with my grandma. Then also at my grandma's house, when I was a kid, when they had a funeral, they kept the wakes inside the house. Mm-hmm. So at her, the house that she had in, they had to take the front window out to get the casket in and out. And also being a kid down there, when all the Irish ladies got together, they would kick us out of the house because they were reading tea leaves. They wouldn't let us hear what they were saying.
Oh, really?
But in our neighborhood too, there was a Hannon, Joe Hannon's dad. He always told me when he was a kid that he owned the path to the Barney Castle. So when I was in Ireland and went to the Barney Castle, I didn't see no path to nothing, but I stopped in a shop, Floss and I did, we stopped in the shop, and I asked the lady about it, and she says, "It's true. His name was Old Hanahan then, but he didn't own nothing. He was the groundskeeper, and his cottage is still there."
Really?
So that's my ties with Blarney Castle, that the great ground, he was a groundskeeper, not didn't own any property.
And this Mr. Hannon was a gentleman from your neighborhood when you were
young? Yeah, he was there, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Then, of course, in those days, when my great-grandma was in, at the end, when she was sick, she'd be sick for pretty bad for about maybe 2 months or better. Then she'd suddenly wake up and she'd say, "Go to McMullen's and get me a bucket of beer." So they'd go buy her some beer and she'd be good for a month or two, and then she'd slip back in and out of it. But every time she'd come out of it, she'd ask for beer, for a bucket of beer.
So was McMullen's a tavern or a pub?
It was a bar right around the corner from her house.
Oh, and what street was the bar on?
Third Street.
Oh.
Where Kelleher's was then, or somewhere right next to it.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah. And then on the corner also, in those days, no hard to get money, but on the corner of Third and Birch was Judge Kerrigan. Cub Kerrigan. It was an uncle of mine, but he hired me to throw rice when he married a couple. I got 10 cents for throwing rice at the couple after every ceremony. So that's how I made some money when I was a kid.
Yeah, you didn't talk about that one when I asked you what kind of work you had done earlier, did you?
Yeah. But it was good. We all those guys down there, we for recreation, we always played what they call college touch. That's football. We throw passes one another out in the street. And we played games like kick the can. Yeah. Those days, you know, there was no TVs or anything. Even the radios were bad. But when I say TVs, it reminds me of Mrs. McCavanaugh. Mrs. McCavanaugh, she was a little old Irish lady. She went to Mass every morning, never missed Mass. But one day she got home and she says, "The end of the world's coming to an end. It's going to be to the end." And I says, "Well, how's that, Kat?" Her name was Katie. And I says, "How's that, Katie?" She says, "Because there's images flying around in the air." This was the start of TV, that we didn't know about it, she didn't know about it. But that's what she thought when TV come, that the images was bringing the end of the world.
I've never heard that one before. Any other people in your neighborhood that, you know, that come to mind?
Oh yeah,
when you were young.
Well, Cummings, he owned a bar here in town called the Copper Club. He was quite a guy. He was quite a man at Georgetown Lake. That those before subdivision, when subdivision come in, he was one of the first landowners up there, and he started naming all the different streets around Georgetown Lake. But his main thing was a Copper City restaurant, a steakhouse it was. Then we used to have Ryan's Bar. That's where the Pizza Hut is now, on the corner there. Another way we used to get money when we were kids is to look for whiskey bottles. This was during probation days, I guess, some of it. But we'd get whiskey bottles, and they would always give us a nickel for a bottle. But we used to take the bottles from behind his place and bring them around the front, and I think they knew about it, but they gave us the nickel.
So you were recycling.
Yeah. I don't know what else would...
Well, do you know where the area that your great-grandmother came from in Ireland?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I got proof that Harrington come from Barra, the peninsula of Barra. Mm-hmm. And my grandma Harrington, she come from Kerry.
Okay.
From County Kerry. So when I was in Ireland, we went to Kerry, couldn't find nothing. But I didn't know enough about my great-grandpa to go to the Barra.
Oh, okay.
But I have a lot of letters from a Harrington from there. And he was here not long ago, but he gave me a ditty. You want to hear the ditty?
Go right ahead.
And we got this from Kay Sabella, too.
Okay.
Kay Sabella was a relative of mine. I'll tell you I'll have to tell you again. Well, here's what he wrote, and he told me this, and of course, he's really got the Irish brogue. It makes it sound bitter.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got, clearly I remember it was late in the late last December. I was walking down the street with mainly manly pride, when me heart went all aflutter, and I fell down in the gutter, and a pig came by and sat down by me side. As I lay there in the gutter, and me heart was still aflutter, a lady passed by and chanced to say, you can tell a man who boozes by the company he chooses. And the pig got up and slowly walked away.
that's a very good one.
I should tell to him, my grandma, though, with my mom, she had how many sisters?
She had,
right here.
Seven,
she had
seven, I think.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six sisters, six daughters. Of course, course, they all married full-blooded Irishmen except my mom. She married a Welsh one. But their first daughter's name was Teresa Brown, Angela Thomas, Helen Kerrigan, Mary Gary, Ursula Hannon, and Rita Marin. So those are all my...
So those would be your...
All my aunts and uncles.
Aunts on your mother's
side. So when we were kids, we always went to their different houses to get their goodies.
Ah, and were they all good cooks?
Yeah. But then after that, I don't know how to do what all we did, but I did join the Ancient Order of Hibernians. I've been a member since the 50s. But during strikes and that, I didn't pay my dues for a couple of years. So they made me rejoin after a few years. So,
I see.
But I still got a lifetime member now in the Ancient Order of Hibernians.
Okay. And lifetime membership is for members of 25 years or
25
more?
Years, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Have you ever held any offices in the AOL?
Oh, yeah. I held every office except president. Which a lot of these guys don't know. A lot of guys don't know that. But
right, right.
I was even master of ceremony one St. Patrick's Day. I made everybody mad because I shortened it up so much that I didn't go through the routine.
Oh, okay. So you were a man of few words,
yeah.
Right? I see. One of the kind of standard questions is, and you can answer this any way you'd like, what does your Irish... ancestry mean to you?
Oh, what it really meant to me, I don't know. This, we were always thinking like anything ever bothered us, no matter how poor we were or how things were, we always got along. And all my aunts and my grandma then, they always seemed to have something to eat. Like my grandma in the old days, I can remember Depression days, we'd always have soup, and she'd send me to the market to get a bone. And it usually was a knuckle bone or a knee bone of a steer or something. And that's how she made her soup.
Oh.
And then we always had cornmeal to eat in the morning. And we had cornbread. We had corn, everything made out of corn. But it was always, nobody was mean or anything that I know of. We just had a good time, especially on the Cutler side. The Cutler side, they were all big people. And I can always remember out in the park, we were all, a couple of more sitting on the bench, and I guess the heaviest one come and sat on the end of the bench, and the bench broke and fell down, and all they did is laugh. And we did have a Cutler reunion one year. We had 272 relatives there at the Columbia Gardens in Butte.
Wow.
See, I don't know what else to remember. I'll probably remember a lot when you leave.
did either your parents or grandparents have any stories about when your great grandparents came over from Ireland, where they first settled, or did they
come
out to Montana?
Or? No, they didn't say much except. Oh, the only real Irish word I can remember from my grandma, she always says, they call me Larry, they did. My Irish grandma didn't call me Larry. She says, Larry, what you need is a new pair of brogues. Why don't you get some brogues?
So she said brogues instead of shoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you really don't know if they came directly to Montana or if they...
No, they came to... It's in here, Michigan, from Coppertown, Michigan.
Okay.
And Reed Meir or something like that. That's okay. Where they got married. And
okay. Okay. And so they came out here to Montana. So
From there.
So mm-hmm. It wasn't like they had...
No, they didn't come from Ireland to Anaconda. They went to Michigan first.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. Is there anything this might not be applicable, Lori, but do you know anything about the name? I mean, were their names always the same? Because you always hear those stories about, you know, immigrants came from the old country and their names kind of were adjusted, or as far as you know.
You know, I just read that last night. And my brother Dick, I mean, brother Donnie, he wrote me about name changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't come to see how they got the name, but I was told, and in this book too, that they used the name, they give me the name, shows you the name, I should show to you, O'Gorman, or something like that. But the English, when they start changing everybody's name, they named this guy, particular guy, Smith. And I was informed that that's how we got the names from the English, changed our names to the colors, green, browns, and whites. So that's how, I guess, maybe that's why my dad, grandma, got the name Green, you
green.
Know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
but that's the British, I just got done reading that, yeah. But how they change the names. It says in there some English clerk that doesn't know anything. That's what it said.
to kind of follow another follow-up question on names, were there any traditional first names or nicknames in your family?
Well, yeah, Cub Kerrigan. Of course, they called him Joe Pat. No, they didn't really have any thought on my side, except me for Lori.
Okay. Yeah. That. Yeah. And that was kind of a very interesting story about your nickname. For such a large family, it's kind of unusual, given that Anaconda has so many nicknames. Yeah.
I shouldn't say this, but maybe I will. Doopy Fitzpatrick. He was one of our county commissioners at one time.
Oh.
You know Frank St. Patrick? I mean Frank Fitzpatrick?
Uh-huh.
His dad.
Oh. Do you know where the nickname came from?
No.
Oh, okay.
He probably gave it before we were born.
Oh, okay, okay. let's see.
But that's the only one I can think of. Cub, Kenny. Oh, Kenny.
Well, you mentioned someone named Cub. So that was a nickname, but what was his full name?
George.
Oh.
George Kerrigan.
Okay.
And then we used to sing his name, Kerrigan. Spells Kerrigan. That's one of the songs we used to sing on the corner.
Okay. On to your childhood. We've talked a little bit about your childhood, but do you have any other particular childhood memories of Anaconda?
Well, I have a lot.
Well, that's good.
Huh?
The China one.
Oh, well, I have a lot, you know. My dad was the superintendent of Anaconda. He was he did all the maintenance in town here. So I was on a lot of jobs with him. In those days, he had a blocked sewer. He'd have to go out and unplug it, him and his gang. But sometimes it happened in the evening time. Couldn't get anybody, so he'd get me and my brothers. He put the sewer rod in the sewer line. Then when he says pull, we had a pull, and oh, what a yucky job. But my dad took care of the streets of Anaconda. He was well known. He could get along with anybody. And especially he could get along with the Italians. For some reason, they really all liked him. Every Christmas, we always had more wine than anybody would like to have. We could drink, so. But also the Irish would also take care of them. They'd always bring the bread and that. And I forgot to tell you what too about my grandma, Green. When we were kids, when we were eating, she always made pasties, Irish pasties. The Irish pasties, a lot of people don't know what they are, but it isn't hamburger like it is today. It was always little pieces of meat with potatoes and onions and pieces of meat and so forth. But she always had a big crust around it. So going through some of the readings in Buick cookbooks, I found out why she had the big crust around the... That was because in those days, that's what the miners had. And their hands were dirty, so they eat the pasty, holding on to the crust, then they could throw it away.
Oh.
So that was the Irish pasty deal.
That's interesting.
That part, I knew that real well.
That's interesting. So you mentioned playing kick the can. Were there any other games played as when you were young?
Well, kick the can and college football, they call it. But when we were smaller, we played what they call cowboy and Indians, which is, in those days, all it was, we get an inner tube, make them slivers on them, and then we could stretch them on a wooden gun with a clothespin. Then we would hit the clothespin and the rubber would go shooting at you.
Okay.
Then we try to kill one another. I mean, I shouldn't say kill or hit one another. But it was pretty dangerous because then we didn't know, but a couple of guys got their eye put out because of it.
Oh, uh-huh.
But that's the only game. And of course, when we played grade school football, it was always down in what they call the Superfund site now, down in the East Yards.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to St. Pete's. And mostly all the kids at St. Peter's were mostly all Irish kids. And we did take the state championship football team in 1944, Class B.
Okay. You answered the next question. It says, what kinds of toys did you play with as a child? So you played with wooden guns?
Anything that you could make, use of, that's what we did.
Okay. And that's the next question. Who made your toys?
Mostly ourselves.
Okay.
Well, I imagine our dads helped us. Somebody had to cut out the pistol type for the rubber guns.
True.
Well, we got so we could do it ourselves. Of course, in those days, too, we tried to make scooters. Mm. We got an apple box, put a handle on it. Then we used our roller skates. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. We had a lot of roller skating.
Oh.
And another game that we played handball a lot at the KC's building. And the KC's building is where the high school is now, Dwyer.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a big board back there, and we played handball. And one of the games there, which you'll never hear again, we played cigarettes. And the way it worked, just say I was old, they named me Old Gold. Then when I hit the ball, I'd holler, Lucky Strike. And whoever was named Lucky Strike, would have to hit the ball. Chesterfields, Philip Moores. You will never hear those guys anymore.
That's, I have never heard that before. That's really unique. And so was this this was an outdoor game?
Yeah, it's an outdoor game. It was right in the back, KC's had it.
Okay.
Knights of Columbus.
Okay. I've never seen... I've never seen handball played outdoors. I always think of a court.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. What about in the winter? Anything in particular you remember in your childhood?
Oh, yeah, in winter we always ice skated.
Okay.
Ice skating was the main thing. Tobogganing. We also tried hitchhiking on cars was the biggest thing for us guys when we were small. Especially the cars going up Birch Street. Birch Street, you know, you got to climb the hill.
Yes.
We'd always get and hook a ride on the bumper. That's how we got around, hitchhiking on cars. Skiing. Yeah, we tried just about everything in the wintertime. As a matter of fact, winter was almost more fun than summer.
Okay. Let's see. When you were young, who were the like the popular sports figures that you might remember?
Well, of course, Babe Ruth, that was a little older. Okay. Really, in those days, when we were real young, all we had was the radio, so we didn't really follow up on sports until we got in high school.
Okay.
I mean, for name games, for main people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course. Then it was Notre Dame, and it's still Notre Dame.
I see. Were you involved, did you have any, were you on any sports teams?
Well, I was on the football team. I played a little baseball, not much. Mm-hmm. We did. Oh, and another thing when we did, we were kids. We really was out in Washoe Park, swimming. Mm-hmm. In those days, there was no heated pool. It was right out of the creek.
And you walked everywhere.
Yeah, and we walked over there to the park, and we swam over there. And then another thing is, I forgot to tell you, I bring back memories. Warren Springs Creek. We always went to Warren Springs Creek on an inner tube. And we go what they call the 145-pole mark. We counted the poles from Anaconda, go up 145 of them, and float down in an inner tube on the Warren Springs Creek.
So were these telephone poles?
Or? Yeah, they were up in there.
Huh.
So anyway, we did that, and then we a little older, we got so we could fish. We could fish Warren Springs Creek. Warren Springs Creek was always good for fishing, and it still is. And the trouble today is, in my opinion, the kids don't get out enough, and that they're missing a world of opportunity. All they got to do is walk 3 blocks, and they'd be able to fish. Don't see too much of it anymore.
Right, but that was something that you and your friends
because we
enjoyed.
Had nothing else. We didn't have TV or nothing. We made our own deal. And I guess that's how I got interested in sportsmen.
Well, that makes sense. So, when you were growing up, what was your home or your house like?
Oh, that's another one, a big story. When I was growing up, every house that we moved into, my dad and I, even with as little as I was, we had to help. We didn't remodel it. The only way we could keep the cold out, we'd bum cardboard and put cardboard on the ceilings. We'd put plastic on the windows. And I can tell you, every house, except the last couple, we moved in, they were so bad, they tore them down. Two on Third Street and one on Oak Street.
Okay.
Didn't know that, huh?
No. So, in your immediate family, in the house when you were growing up, there were your mom and dad, and how many kids?
Oh, my mom and dad, and I had 6 brothers and 1 sister. And all of my brothers, all of us, we served in the service.
Okay.
And my sister, she didn't serve in the service, but we really miss her.
Couple of interesting questions. At least I think they're interesting. Do you recall where your mom might have shopped for groceries?
Well, then in those days, J.C. Penney's was open, 5 and 10 cent store. They call it, what they call it?
Woolworths.
Ben Franklin's store. In, and then we had a couple of. Hardware stores.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we had a meat market.
Okay.
That's another funny thing about the meat market. My brothers, there's one butcher there. His name was Kelly?
Or Murray.
Yeah, Kelly. Or John Sladich. They knew me, but they didn't know my brothers. So when my brothers go in and get some meat. When they leave, they say, put it on the bill, and they say, okay, Lawrence. So one day I got stuck with a big bill. I couldn't figure out why what was happening. They knew me, but they didn't know my brothers, and they were put on the bill.
When you were growing up, did your kids have chores that you had to do around the house?
Well, whatever my mom and dad could scarf up, I guess. Nothing really big.
Okay.
Maybe skates. Well, I did get a 22 once.
Chores. Something to do around the house.
Oh, chores. I said chores. Oh,
no.
Chores. Oh, yeah. I had to help with cut the wood for firewood. I had to help bring in the coal. Of course, split the kindling.
Did your mom cook on a coal and wood stove?
And then my job was, I'm the oldest of seven. My job was to hang out the clothes for her.
Oh.
And I got to make some friends with my neighbors because they see me out there hanging out clothes. Especially the McGuire's. Yeah.
And so were the McGuire's like immediate neighbors?
Did they Yeah, live immediate right? neighbors.
Did they lived next door or?
Yeah.
I lived next door to them. Uh-huh. I was in and out of his house all through school and that. He had no time of the day for me. He was, other than I was just like sister.
Right, right. You talked about, you know, the kids going out to Washoe Park, but did your family ever go anywhere particular for outings or those types of things?
We always went out to Washoe Park.
Okay.
We always had family gatherings out there.
Okay.
And Columbia Gardens in Butte, when they, every once in a while, not all the time, we got to go there once in a while.
Uh-huh.
Great okay. place.
Did your family own their own car, or?
Yeah, as far as I know, my dad always had a car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, not for a long time. We walked. Of course, we never did. We
walked
everywhere.
Yeah. Right.
Kids. Of course, the kids never believe you. We tell them how deep the snow was, how tough it was. But it's true. I used to walk from Oak Street down to St. Peter's every morning, come home at noon, go back at noon, come back in the evening.
I had my first prom and with the formal, and it was winter and snowy. And we didn't have cars, so we walked clear down to the Copper Club to eat, and then back again. We didn't have cars.
In the snow?
Yeah, in the snow. It was terrible.
And you said earlier that you graduated from St. Peter's High School?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
the main priest there was Father Piernet. He was a great priest. I can even still remember his sermon. His sermon was about the crash of 29. That's what he talked about. I can remember that.
He talked about
yeah.
that a lot.
Yeah. Then right after that was Father Moroni. Father Moroni. You want to hear a poem I can remember he preached about?
Sure.
They probably won't like it.
Well, that's okay. It's your interview.
The only one I can really remember a sermon, and this had to be it. Martin Luther was a friar, whom the devil did admire. He broke his vows and married a nun, and that's how the Protestant religion begun. You can take it out if
no,
you want.
No, that's very interesting. What were the parish priests at St. Peter's also the head of the high school? Did they teach in the high school as well?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It was strictly the nuns.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then you mentioned when we filled out the questionnaire that you had served in the military. So do you want to just kind of repeat that for the purposes of the recording?
Oh, yeah. Well, right after graduation, I enlisted in the Navy. I went with a few of my fellow friends. It seems like for some reason or other they didn't make it. One of my best friends, his name was Bernard Morse. He couldn't make pass the physical but he was one of the star athletes, but he couldn't pass the physical because he had one leg shorter than another.
Oh.
And he didn't know it. And so I got it. So after the war, if you weren't in the service in this town, you more or less had to defend yourself. And I was always his backup man, saying that he did join or tried to join, couldn't make it. So that left me all by myself going into the boot camp. And right out of boot camp, everybody went somewhere, but I got sent to the Standard Landing Craft Unit in Coronado all by myself, so I was all by myself there too. So I was in Coronado when the war ended.
Okay.
With Japan.
Okay. Let's see. When you were growing up, what What kinds of traditions or celebrations do you remember? Particularly anything that you celebrated with the Irish community that, you know, in your neighborhood?
Yeah, more just Christmas is the main one.
Okay.
Of course, we had to go to every wedding. And we had to go do all, well, being Catholic, we had to take everything that came along.
What typically, when you were young, how did your family celebrate Christmas?
You know, it was always the best day for, well, of course, the turkey. Turkey or a big roast.
For dinner.
For dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we always had, and still have, mashed potatoes and rutabagas.
Really? So
that still goes on.
You remember having rutabagas as a that was kind of a tradition you remember from your childhood?
Yeah, we always had that rutabagas. That, as a matter of fact, we always found out that the next day with rutabagas and potatoes mixed together was the best dish.
Oh, that's interesting. I'd never heard of that. And so you were, your family grew up in St. Peter's Parish. Your family was a...
Then we went to St. Paul's.
Oh, okay. Okay. So did you move from the eastern end of Anaconda, maybe up to St. Paul's Parish?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we moved to, we only went as far as Locust Street.
Okay.
Oak Street, Locust Street.
Okay.
Third Street, Locust Street, then.
From Third to...
Yeah, after they tore down every one of our houses when we moved.
Oh, I see. When you were young, do you remember St. Patrick's Day as much of a celebration?
Oh, no, not so much until we got in high school.
Okay.
But I do remember, and this is why I try to say it every St. Patrick's Day. When St. Paul's, I went to St. Paul's grade school, you could hear them come down, and I don't know, I guess where they were from, the high school, they'd sing Mrs. Murphy's Chowder.
Oh.
And what the heck, they had another one they used to come by and sing. But anyway, I always remembered Mrs. Murphy's Chowder, so.
Okay.
That's why I say it.
Have you observed many, you know, changes in the way something, an Irish holiday like St. Patrick's Day has changed over the years?
Yeah, the only thing I can see now, we're losing our singers and our storytellers. When I was growing up, or even coming through high school, there was always somebody that'd sing a song or tell a poem,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. But now you don't, if it gets anybody to sing, you got more or less twist their arm. And there's not very good guys to tell a good poem or recite a poem. And it's too bad, too. But I have one good friend. His name is Terry Caulfield.
Mm-hmm.
He could recite poems, and he'd only do it here at the house.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And for a singer, every Tuesday night I used to have Joe Dowdle. He'd come here at the house every Tuesday night and sing Irish songs for us.
Oh.
And, but I remember in the old days, in the 50s, all those guys, they'd really recite some good poems.
Uh-huh.
Of course, one good guy I can remember, you want me to tell this one?
Anything you'd like, Lori.
His name was Old Man Me. He was right from Ireland.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And when you join the deal, they make you, the candidate, sit in the kitchen. So they asked me to sit with this Mr. Me. He was right from Ireland. So I says to him, you know, when you get out there, they're going to ask you to sing a song or say something. I said, can you sing? He says, yeah. So when he got out there, they finally was a mixed deal, women and them. So they call him, and he starts singing Mother McCree. Couldn't carry a tune in a basket. Everybody was moaning and groaning. But he looked at me and I went like this to him. I gave him the thumbs up. So he sang another song, another poem. And then Everybody's kind. And then about the third poem, I give him the thumbs up again. And he gets it. And then he stands up and he sings another verse. But what happened was, his flyer was open.
Oh dear.
And he was saying, "Mother McCree waked out," you know, with his flyer. And all the way, everybody started howling and laughing. It turned out to be the best song of the night.
Oh my goodness.
Oh. I'll never forget that.
Were you a member of the Hibernians when they had the original hall?
Yeah. I even did some work over there.
What do you remember about that original hall?
In high school days, they used to have St. Patty's Day. They'd have two halls, one with modern dancing, one was kind of old-time dancing. Uh-huh. And I remember old man Hayes. You ever heard of him?
I have.
Yeah, Miss Hayes, he played the fiddle and that. Oh, man, he was good. We'd rather go there in that hall and dance than everyone. And then, of course, we always had a real good guys. My name is Bully Brennan and Cy McKittrick. Especially Bully, he'd like to have one too many, but he was really he was one of the main guys in there for making the evening bright and happy.
Oh, one of those life of the party people.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And so was Cy McKittrick. Oh. Yeah, those are the guys that could sing down. I have to tell you about Bully Brennan. Bully Brennan was a big man. Mm-hmm. He had a big cowboy hat. And I kept saying to him, "I'd like you to have your hat." And he says, one day he was feeling good. He says, "Yeah, here, you can have it." So I put it on and come down to my nose. But he belonged to what they called an Orky gang in those days. And the Orky gang used to meet right here behind my house. There used to be six cabins behind my house here. Uh-huh. And they'd meet there. And I said to him, "What is your favorite song? What do you guys sing the most?" And I thought there'd be an Irish song. Mm-hmm. Take a guess what it was.
I don't know.
The Old Strawberry Room.
Oh.
They'd sing the Old Strawberry Room. And that, too many guys know the words of that anymore.
Oh, so they preferred cowboy tunes to Irish tunes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So what, why were they called the Norky Gang?
They like to pass the bottle around.
Oh. Oh, okay.
They were always in trouble, but that was in those days.
Huh. Let's see. It says that one of the questions on the list talks about describing the neighborhood.
Do what?
In the neighborhood in which you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything in particular you remember about your immediate neighborhood when you were young?
Yeah, well, just like I said, we were all Irish down there on East. Well, and I say Birch Street in this town is known as Goose Town. Mm-hmm. So we were all in that one area. There was the Hannons, the Cumminses, the Harringtons, the Greens, and the Kerrigans. And they were all down there.
Do you remember anything about what the houses looked like? Just like they are today. Huh?
Yeah.
The houses and the streets. And...
Except I have to tell you, there's another house they tore down, the one I was born in.
Oh.
They moved that one up to that 880 ranch.
It's still there.
It's still there. It's an antique house.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let's see. How, you know, in your view, how do you think Anaconda has changed over the years from when, you know, say from when you were young in grade school and high school?
It's changed so much. First of all, I guess we're getting old. We don't recognize too many people anymore. Uh-huh. And, of course, everybody kicking the bucket. But what really changed is when the smelter shut down. Mm-hmm. That really hurt us. They really hurt our community. And they left us with that big Superfund site. And I don't know how our town's going to survive. Except I was at the courthouse the other day and I told them, I think we ought to be called this the hub of recreation. And I really believe it because right here, we got wilderness areas, we got mountain lakes and the Flints over here. We got hunting, fishing, snowmobiling. ATVs, you got everything you want right here. We got the best place in the world. Well, I tell you, we live in the best place in the whole world, right here in Anaconda. That's what I feel about Anaconda.
I can tell that you have a very warm spot in your heart for Anaconda. Do you have any particular sayings in your family?
Well, of course, you always, when, you mean like with my grandma, I should tell you this, one of them we always stay is, and one of our houses that we lived in was on Maple Street. There used to be a hospital there on the corner of 4th, 5th and Maple. There used to be a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my grandma moved in there. We go there. I know they say the Irish are kind of known for being about spooks or ghosts, but there was a little old lady that came in the porch, and you open up the door and ask her to come in, they disappear. And there are strange things that happen, curtains moving, all that stuff, but nobody believes us. But my Grandma Green would always say, just all they're here for is to say a prayer. They want a prayer from you, the poor soul. So all you got to say is, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I put all my trust in thee, and help them. So that's everybody. I guess that's where we got the word. Never read that in a book or anything, right from my Grandma Green.
Oh, that's really interesting. Huh. Any particular, expressions that you've noticed that your family might have used? People talk about people from Butte and Anaconda having particular
Hiya Pard.
How should go or
yeah. Well, we still got how should go or tapper light. Take it easy.
And you say Anaconda, not
yeah, they yeah. always accuse us of we saying anaconda instead of anaconda. Or I don't know how they want. I always said anaconda.
Yeah,
okay. Let's see.
Okay, Pard is another word.
Okay.
If you didn't know a guy's name, you used to call him partner. Okay, partner.
Okay.
You say sister.
Huh?
Okay, sister.
Oh, yeah, well, okay, sister, okay, brother. Get by without calling down their names.
Right. You have told the story of the your mom and the pasties with the big crusts
mm-hmm.
and the mashed potatoes and the rutabagas. Any other particular specialty foods or recipes that, kind of...
My mom used to make, what do you call it, upside-down pineapple or something?
Pineapple
that was the main dessert.
Cake.
I don't know how she made it. It was always good, all I can tell you. Because another thing, though, with my dad, though, see, my mom died when we were young.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad raised all 8 of us by himself. He'd work, come home, make dinner, go back to work, come home, eat supper.
Wow. Was your dad a good cook?
Yeah. He was put in an orphanage when he was a kid.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, and they made him a cook or broke him in as a cook.
Oh. Was it a local orphanage or was it?
Great Falls.
In Great Falls. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and my grandpa, he lived in Gardner, Montana. And on the Cutler side, they lived in Cook City.
Oh, okay.
So that's, I know all those countries. I was at all of them up there, around there. But they were the real old-timers up there. Nobody knows them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does your family have any particular keepsakes or mementos, things that might have belonged to your parents or your grandparents that got passed down?
Not really.
And your side?
If my mom had anything, you might have gave it to my sister that I don't know.
Oh. What about photographs?
We got so many photographs.
Big
mistake in those years, though.
Oh.
Forgot to put the names on the back.
Oh.
So now you go through them, can't figure out, who the heck is that, But we have stacks of photographs of all of them.
I have old pictures on the German side, on my mother's side, but my dad's side, his folks died young, so.
Of course, I got the family tree, and Fosse has her family tree.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. So, and it, so as far as a family history goes, you have actually this family tree, and you had mentioned that a sister or a nun had put that
Sister
together.
Sister Robertson, yeah.
Okay.
And she wrote, there's a big paragraph in here about how she wrote all the music. Here's the C's. Are you going to take a look?
Okay.
Which one I'll have you read it. Moriarty. Oh, well, it makes up with being here. See the Harringtons, the Green. She's down in near the back here. These are all Moriartys. We were related to the Murphys, the Rymas. There's so many in here, relatives in here, I forgot myself.
Oh.
See if you look at that for us, see.
It's a different, it's got the letter.
Maybe it's that one there, one of them. Because I want to find it, can't find it. Okay.
And that's it.
Okay, so this Sister Mary Herbert Robinson, now was she a relative of yours?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how was she related to you?
I don't know, just like they said, somebody married somebody and somebody married somebody.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, down the line.
Okay, so she was related through the Moriarty.
To the Candy Clan.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she got a bachelor's degree in music.
Yeah, read what she did.
Wow. National Catholic Music Educators Association. Let's see. Music Conservatory. Very accomplished woman.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I would give her heck today if I could talk to her.
Why is that?
Some of the songs are dull.
Oh,
jeez, you know that. Oh, man.
In your opinion, you'd rather have a lively song.
Yeah, like the Irish, you know.
Okay. So you mentioned it briefly, but is there anything that you'd like to talk about as far as your trip to Ireland?
Oh, yeah, okay, my trip to Ireland. Did I say this before?
Well, you mentioned about Blarney Castle, but yeah. I just wondered if there was anything else.
From my great uncle Hannon, he always told me he owned the path to the Blarney Stone Castle. So when I went to Ireland, we went to look for it. I didn't see no path, and I just went to Blarney Stone. After kissing the Blarney Stone, we went to a novelty shop. So I asked the lady there. I says, for my information, I was always told. Old man Hannon owned the path to the Blarney Castle, Blarney Stone Castle. She says, it's true, and his cottage is still there. But he was just a groundskeeper.
Okay.
And she says to me, why do you ask? You're a native. Boy, that made me feel good.
Oh,
no.
Come on.
Yeah.
So in addition to...
then another thing, though, I seen a... Of course, I was interested in the signs that says Lori, and I have one here. I took a picture of it.
Okay.
But I didn't take my picture with in it. I wanted to steal the sign, but they wouldn't let me.
Okay.
Take it home. But there was a truck broke down with a flat tire, so I went over and talked to the guys And they asked me how I like Ireland, and I told him I was a little bit disappointed. He says, you know, you're right. He says, everybody comes over here, thinks Ireland's like it is back in the 50s and the 40s, and it isn't that way no more. He said, so you're right, you know. I was disappointed on some, but our trip to Ireland was really great. I really liked it. We found a grotto.
Yeah.
We don't know where we were. There's no city, no nothing. Just a nice picture of Stato and a cave site.
Mm-hmm.
Floss went looking at the cave, see if he would find any different coins. Then we went down the road and there was nothing but a water pump. So I says, well, might as well get a drink of water as long as we're here. So we out there pumped it. I don't know where what it was for or nothing, but we water pumped.
Oh.
Then one of my favorite ones is we went to a bar. We're always lost when we're in Ireland. And, we went to a bar. And why I didn't buy this, I asked the guy his name, and his name was Kelly. Of course, I thought of Jack Kelly here.
Mm-hmm.
He says, how would you like to buy this? Like, what is it? He says, an egg timer. I thought, egg timer? Well, I probably wish I would have bought it from him.
Probably needed some money to have a drink or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, he would. then we really got into a couple of good music pubs. Pubs that had good music. As a matter of fact, we got one of the CDs here.
Beautiful.
And what stands in my mind, we in the bar, and the guy was singing, playing the drums. There was a little girl in a wheelchair out in the street, out in the alley. And that guy was looking at her, and I was too, and he's giving me the big high five. That was really neat.
Hmm. Okay. When did you make your trip to Ireland?
When was that?
2002, I believe it was.
Was it?
Yeah, that was 2002.
Okay. Yeah, we went with Johnny Thomas.
Uh-huh.
Johnny was the driver. We rented the car.
Okay.
We got along real good, except being a carpenter, I seen him putting straw on a house.
Really?
And we're going down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him to stop, but he was going too fast, and there's too many cars behind him. He couldn't stop. But I wanted him to turn around, but he wouldn't do it. But how I wish I would have went and talked to that farmer, see how he put straw and how they did it.
Oh, he was thatching
on his roof.
Okay.
How about when we were on the bus?
Oh, yeah, then we was on the bus, and I heard a tour bus in, what town was it? It was some town, but anyway, we're going down Thomas Street, and I asked the lady, and she gave me the history on Thomas there.
Oh.
And then she sang, what do you call that? Cockadales and
cockle shells and silver bells and cockle shells.
She sang that for me.
Yeah.
Whole cockle shell. Well, anyway, when I was on top of the bus, there was a whole group of kids or people with these big Irish hats. You see on St. Patty's Day, the big Irish hats?
Yes.
That's why I don't like them. She says to me, I says, oh boy, look at all those Irish people. She says, pay no attention to them. They're nothing but troublemakers. So I says, so anybody I see wearing a big hat, he's a troublemaker.
You think they're a troublemaker. So when you spot those big tall hats on Patrick's Day, you know who to stay away from.
Did another Irish deal, I have to say, St. Paul's Church. We did the altar there, you know. But we didn't put on the hardwood. They got some people from Missoula do that, but I had to make sure that they left a hole for electrical outlet. So I went over there, and one of the guys was right from Ireland. So I says to him, you know, we're going to go to Ireland pretty soon. I says, I got my Irish car. Do you think I'll get a free drink? He says, you might get a free drink, but you'll also get a black eye. So I always remember that saying.
Yeah. And the turnarounds.
Yeah. Well, of course, the roundabouts there.
Oh, roundabouts.
Yeah.
Have you gone there?
And Guinness's beer, I could drink it there when we went to the Guinness's brewery.
Uh-huh.
But today, I just don't like Guinness's beer. I'm about one of the guys that don't, you know.
I hadn't thought about this. Do you recall either growing up or maybe just through family lore or talking that there were any like home remedies your mother might have used or your aunts might have used.
Did you use the goose?
Huh? That was one of those little black bugs.
Oh.
You know, I do work down in the basement. It's loaded with bugs.
Oh, my gosh.
Goose, to put around
their neck.
You save the grease, and you put it on a rag, and you put it around your neck.
Goose grease.
Goose grease,
and it was get rid of the cold.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Vicks vapor rub on your foot, the bottom of your foot.
Bottom of your feet. what else?
Of course, it's no different today. They told me to put a bar of soap for cramps in the bed.
Yeah, that is kind of that interesting. So in addition to any home remedies, what about any particular superstitions that you have or your brothers or your family or your aunts?
No, of course, the same old one. Don't go under a ladder.
Don't go under a ladder. Okay.
Of course, you still got the black cat.
Uh-huh.
And now another one, though, is, and I really kind of believe this, if a bird hit your window and died, that meant there's going to be a death in your family.
No, if one gets hit, one comes in, there's something to it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you hear that one?
You know, my grandmother had a problem with birds, and I often wondered if that was particular to her or if that was pretty common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the superstitions.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at this point, anything else that you'd like to...
I'll probably think of more. But I good enough.
Right.
It'll keep you busy for a while. And I hope you get your good A on your project.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for agreeing to be interviewed. And we'll just...